SBS, a world of difference. You're with SBS Ukrainian on mobile, online, and on radio.
Ви з SBS українською на мобільних, в інтернеті та на радіо.
From the BBC in London, I'm Pete Ross with an update on Ukraine. Fighting between Russian and Ukrainian forces is continuing in the key town of Severodonetsk in eastern Ukraine. For weeks now, the town has been the focus of Russian military bombardment as its forces attempt to encircle Ukrainian troops in the region. Ukraine insists its defences are holding, while Russia claims it's been making marginal gains. Severodonetsk and nearby Lysychansk are significant. Capturing the twin cities would give Russia control of the entire Luhansk region, parts of which are already controlled by Russian-backed separatists. In Severodonetsk, Moscow today said its troops had pushed Ukrainian forces out of the city centre. The Ukrainian armed forces say battles are continuing. Miola Nadlinchi is coordinating aid deliveries to Severodonetsk.
I can tell you it's not just them. There are unfortunately around 10,000 people still in Severodonetsk like them. And they refuse to leave simply because they have a bond with their city. That's where their heart is. Many of them are retired people. And when our volunteers, who tend to be young, arrived in the city to give them humanitarian aid and try to persuade them to leave, they said, well, we were born here and we're going to die here. And unfortunately, that's the reality that we're now coming up against.
Our correspondent, Joe Inwood, is following developments from the capital, Kyiv.
We understand both sides are taking heavy casualties. The Russians are using their advantage with artillery to really pound Ukrainian positions, as they have done throughout this conflict, really. And we think that the Ukrainians are therefore taking many losses and are being pushed back into an ever-decreasing pocket of this city. They've been pushed out of the centre.
Staying on the battlefront, Kharkiv sits just 20 miles from the border with Russia. It's been a target for heavy Russian shelling from the start of the war. Now, a new report by human rights group Amnesty International has accused Russian forces of killing hundreds of civilians in the city by indiscriminate shelling. According to its investigation, many of the casualties were caused by the use of cluster munitions. The Kremlin has previously denied using such weaponry in Ukraine. From Kharkiv, the BBC's Wire Davis reports.
In some of the city's northern and eastern suburbs, apartment blocks have completely collapsed. In others, the tail fins of rockets are still protruding from buildings. In these built-up places, says Amnesty International, the routine use of unguided missiles by Russian forces resulted in more than 600 civilian deaths and at least 1,200 injuries. Amnesty said it had found evidence of Russian forces repeatedly using cluster bombs as well as rockets that eject smaller mines to explode later at timed intervals, all of which, according to the report, could constitute war crimes.
Away from the day-to-day fighting, Russia has faced extensive sanctions for its invasion. The European Union, for instance, agreed to ban all imports of Russian oil that reach the EU by sea. Russia relies on oil and gas exports for almost half its foreign exchange revenue, so that and other actions should be hurting Moscow. But new research seems to suggest that any losses are being more than made up for in other ways. Our reporter Jonah Fisher explains.
This study from the Centre for Research on Energy and Clean Air suggests that massively inflated prices have more than compensated for the slight drop in Russian sales. The EU did manage to cut its imports by a fifth in May, but Russian export prices are on average 60% higher than last year. Though some countries have reduced their purchases, others have stepped in. India, France, China, the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia are all reported to have increased their imports of Russian fossil fuels since the war in Ukraine began.
And on the diplomatic front, following Russia's invasion, Sweden and Finland announced an intention to join NATO. NATO member Turkey said it would veto the move, claiming the Nordic countries are supporting Kurdish militants who Turkey describes as terrorists. Many commentators thought this bloc would be temporary, but the head of NATO has appeared to play down hopes of an early resolution to the dispute. Jens Stoltenberg said Turkey's concerns must be taken seriously.
We have to address the security concerns of all allies, including Turkish concerns about the terrorist group PKK. So I remain in close contact with you, Sauli. and your colleagues with Sweden and with our ally Turkey on the way ahead. My staff also remain in close dialogue with officials from all three countries.
Those are the latest developments in Ukraine on day 110 of Russia's invasion. I'm Pete Ross at the BBC.